On today's Trending 55 Hot Seat, this is one we've been waiting for a while. It is the Agriculture and Forestry Minister for the province of Alberta and also a big hockey fan, Minister Devin Dreeshan. First off, thank you for taking the time today.
Well, great to be on your show, and happy birthday, Kenny.
Thank you very much, Minister. Thank you very much. Now, first off, we're going to start this off as a sports fan, so we'll call it off as the Dreesh's Hockey Opinions. And this is one I'm kind of thinking about right now. We were just mentioning before you're a big Oilers fan. How likely do you think it is they come back?
Well, they have to, obviously. This next game is huge. I'd really like to see them attack more on the blue line against Chicago, because there's been two games now where really bad tip-ins, and they just kind of seem to be waiting for those big shots in the blue line. So if I give any advice to the Oilers coming up here, is to make sure you're attacking that blue line and not letting those shots come in. And I mean, yeah, guys like Russell are great blocking shots, but Russell and Baird last two games have led him some pretty bad tips, and Kostin's playing fantastic. So if he can see the shots, he'll be stopping them for sure.
And you know what? You got to give Chicago credit. They got a lot of good young players on that team. It's almost like that they're kind of doing a little bit of a reset right now. Overall, do you think that maybe the Oilers may have underestimated them a bit?
Well, I think it's just the weird. I mean, Edmonton had a huge momentum, and then COVID hit. So I think it's just been tough for a lot of the teams going in. But I think the underdogs, it's a lot less pressure for them. So, and it's weird for me just seeing Kane and Toews, I should say. Being the old guys on the team, because just growing up they were always the young superstars, and seeing their leadership on Chicago is pretty impressive and good to see just as a hockey fan though.
No doubt about that. And I know also as well, obviously as the agriculture minister, we'll focus that, but we definitely got to get back to hockey though for sure. But in terms of agriculture issues, Minister, as quite a few agriculture areas around here. I know like the County of Northern Lights, Northern Sunrise County as well, and Big Lakes have obviously had some buildup in terms of water pooling, which has affected crops this year. So two questions on that. Can you say that there's been a big difference in terms of agricultural disasters from last year to this year? And if so, just a little bit of a reminder, what kind of support would be available for those farmers whose crops maybe got a little bit drowned and can't do anything about it?
Yeah, so my heart goes out to those farmers, because in a lot of those counties, it's been year four or five of them declaring an agriculture disaster. And a couple of weeks ago, I toured up from Lac La Biche over to Westlock and met with a lot of farmers who had probably two-thirds of all their farmland drowned out, and they couldn't get rather last year's crop off or just couldn't actually seed. So we are looking at, with the Agriculture Financial Service Corporation, the AFSC, looking at unceded acre benefit changes, because for them, a lot of it's rented land. They're putting, $90-$100 an acre. And right now that unceded acre benefit is about $49. So we are looking at some changes there just to help those farmers that, again, have just been really, really hammered by excess moisture this year.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Is that any similar? Because I think in the other pastures, I believe as well, that sometimes maybe it was a frost issue as well. Is this year like a little bit different in terms of that?
Yeah, and frost, we still may get that. That's the bad F word that could happen this fall. But when it comes to crop insurance, that's always there at the end of the year, depending on how the yields go. But it just, with all this excess moisture and just not being able to put in a crop, that's just been really, really damaging to a lot of areas. Just kind of that band north of Edmonton has just been really hard hit. So we are looking at some changes to help out farmers in that area.
Now, Minister, you've been touring quite a bit, and we know that one of the announcements that you had made is about meat inspection, and that was something I wanted to highlight on the show. A significant announcement last week about meat inspections, as well as reducing red tape and making Alberta beef a little bit more competitive. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, that was a great red tape reduction initiative. Alberta had the highest amount of red tape and rules when it came to meat inspection over any other province. And, whether it's BC or Saskatchewan, they do allow on-farm sale of meat. And that's something that a lot of producers and just consumers, people in general, want to be able to source their food locally and be able to buy steaks or sausages or whatever the case may be from their local ranchers. And that's something that, especially with open farm days happening next week, is something that it's really great to see local people be able to connect with their local agriculture producers and farmers and ranchers in their area. So it was a really timely red tape reduction initiative, and it's been going over pretty well so far.
So this is something that really has an opportunity for somebody who, say, would like to buy, meats that were made and produced, say, in La Crete, for example, where you recently were. Then this kind of initiative would roll it out and make it a lot easier for somebody to go up there and say, hey, I want to go to La Crete and get my favorite Mennonite sausage kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I had, there was actually a barbecue up there, and there was a whole bunch of Mennonite sausage coils that were on the barbecue, and it was pretty impressive. So yeah, great tasting meat, you know, obviously people that have been doing it for years, and especially when you look at hunters as well across the province, they've been, you know, cutting up their own meat, and, you know, so it is something that it really just has that local flair that I think goes a long way.
All right, and I guess also as well, in terms of agriculture and forestry, and we know obviously that forest fires last year, especially what they did to Chuck Egg Creek, this year it seems like, and in good part thanks to Mother Nature as well, I think Mother Nature really did contribute to it, but also I think that there were some preventative measures that maybe aren't talked about as much that were in place that also helped mitigate major fire hazards this year compared to what we saw last year.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird perfect storm that happened with COVID happening right at, you know, kind of February, March, and right at the, you know, almost the beginning of forest fire season. So we wanted to make sure that we had the forest firefighters in place locally here. So we actually hired an extra 200. So we had 800, you know, a standing army of forest firefighters going into the fire season. We did a whole bunch of preventative procedures at our forest fire camps across the province to make sure that they were spaced out and, you know, had individual lunches. And there was just a lot of COVID-related extra work and costs that went in because we wanted to make sure that we weren't going to have an outbreak at any of our forest fighting camps because we obviously need these guys at peak times. And if we ever had an infection go through a camp, it would be devastating to our forest industry. So a lot of that preparation work went into making sure that we had a very good forest fire season. It's not over yet, but there was hundreds of fires, and there's about 8 going on right now that are being held and contained. So it still has been an active season, but I think it's almost been 99% of the fires that have happened have been put out by 10 a.m. the next day. So a credit to all the Alberta wildfire personnel that have been doing a great job this year.
Yeah, definitely. And in terms of that, too, I mean, talk about the challenge that it must be in terms of, and you touched on this, which kind of leads to another question of the challenge, I guess, it must be managing this pandemic and also in terms of keeping people apart. But at the same time, these firefighters still have to be out there, still have to be keeping an eye on things. As you mentioned, extinguishing those fires the next day, like how much of a juggling challenge must that be?
Yeah, and even just moving them, transporting them to make sure that they could be socially distanced or they'd have to wear a mask when they're going up in a helicopter to be able to say, okay, we need to space them out. So it was a tremendous amount of work, and I just give my, you know, take my hat off to the managers and to the frontline guys that have been doing such a, guys and gals, that have been doing such a fantastic job this year to make sure that our communities up north are safe.
All right, and also as Ag Minister, always something that's kind of curious to hear, but what would you say are the three biggest challenges that your department has had to face since you were Agriculture Minister, which is since the election win?
Yeah, so it has been a challenging year and a half for sure, but, you know, just with our foresters and farmers, they're the best that Alberta has to offer. They're so hardworking, they're so resilient, and they're always optimistic about next year, and it's just, it's a real honor and a privilege for me to be able to be a minister that has those types of stakeholders and people that I get to work with on a daily basis because they're so positive. They want to be able to grow their industry. A lot of them are multi-generational, and they want those, you know, multi-generational foresters or farmers, they want to pass it down to their kids, and they care so much about the land that they operate on every day. And it's just been that's a huge highlight. But I know for this year, top three obviously would be COVID and all the issues that's had on Alberta's economy. We were lucky to have agriculture and forestry declared an essential industry early on. So they obviously had disruptions to their operations, but it was minor compared to others. And then obviously weather challenges, you know, whether it's hailstorms or with excess moisture in certain areas around the province. And then probably coming in at number three would be the federal government and dealing with the annual allowable cut and the caribou issues that still haven't been resolved yet. But to make sure that whatever whatever comes out of that, it's something that's fair and balanced and that doesn't hurt our forestry industry because they're such an important part of Alberta's economy.
Yeah, definitely is. Now, I guess looking a little bit past in your history, you've been a part of a few different election campaigns, and I guess the one big thing I'm kind of curious about that is that you've been a part of Canadian campaigns, American campaigns, and even seen ones in the Ukraine. Is campaigning, I mean, now at the end of the day, when you're campaigning obviously to win the election, but are the campaign methods you find from the different countries that you've seen very different from what we see in Canada, very similar? Like, that's something I'm kind of curious about.
Well, I can tell the Ukraine experience was quite something. I did two election observer missions there, one for the presidential and then their general election. And it's a completely different world on how they do politics. But whether it's, yeah, Canada, the U.S., a lot of it is the same. You have to identify voters. You got to make sure they come out and vote. You're organizing events to try to rally your base. And, no, it's democracy is not perfect, but it's great to see people that get passionate about it and want to make sure that that it's done in a fair way. And you win some, you lose some, and I've been on the winning side and the losing side of some elections, but it's a tremendous ability to be able to participate and to see the possibility that politics has, because it is the art of the possible of forming government and having the trust of people to govern them.
And that's really cool because, you think about Ukraine and you would think maybe about the past in the old days of the Soviet Union. They may not have had a choice. And now here you are, if you think about it, several years later, keeping an eye on Ukrainian elections when maybe you think about maybe several years before that wouldn't have been a possible at the time, at least not as we know it. So that's got to be pretty cool just to even be able to see the historical progression to the point where a country like Ukraine has that opportunity to vote.
Yeah, and just the election observer missions that Canada has, to other countries, just to see where they're at in their, democratic ability. It obviously takes money to make sure that you are monitoring and ensuring that elections are fair and that there isn't any funny business going on. But it is incredible to see just the history of that region of how it has developed.
That is really cool, definitely. All right, now back to the hockey is the Dries here. So I have to ask, you did mention you were an Oilers fan, and I guess as an Oilers fan, do you really despise the Flames that much, or are you okay with them? Or
I do with a passion. when they play each other, obviously you cheer a lot louder and boo a lot harder. But it's something that having two hockey teams here in Alberta and just that rivalry is fantastic. And being from Red Deer area, my riding's in Innisfil, Sylvan Lake, but just that split between Edmonton and Calgary, there's a lot of families and friends and even bars that are split on what's going to happen to who you get to cheer for, whether it's Calgary or Edmonton.
So if Edmonton is unsuccessful in moving on, are you jumping on the Flames bandwagon, or would you like go and join my Habs on the bandwagon if they move on? Do you want to go there? Or
I think it's anybody that other than Toronto is probably a fair.
We got room for you on the Montreal bandwagon.
Yeah, well, but I'm not counting the Oilers out yet. They have a fantastic team. They need some secondary scoring, and they're exciting and fun to watch. And I'm hoping they can pull it out. But yeah, they need to string two wins together here to get out of this tough series with Chicago.
Well, I do have to point it out in a little bit of trash talk in yours is that the last time the Habs and Oilers met in the playoffs, and if this happens again, that means we're meeting in the finals, which would be awesome. But the last time that did happen, something happened with Steve Smith, and, we know how that one went down. So, and you know what? Montreal actually kind of had one of those lucky goals that went off a goalie's mask. So anything can happen, and that game's in a couple of hours, so earned a little bit of time here. So let's get a prediction on that. Montreal-Pittsburgh this afternoon. What do you think's taking it?
Because you'll probably hit me next time you see me if I say Pittsburgh. So, yeah, Montreal all the way, for sure.
Okay, all right. Hands back in the pocket, we're good. That's awesome. All right, Minister, well, thank you very much for appearing on the hot seat. Really appreciate the time today.
Well, thank you, Kenny, and I hope you have a great birthday.
Thank you very much. This is Agriculture Minister and Minister of Forestry as well, Devin Dreeshen, also known as the Dreesh, on the Trending 55 Hot Seat.